Hello, America, and to all of our listeners all over the world. You are listening to yet another exciting edition of Let's Weekend. I am your host and the most, Brandon Perkins. With me, as always, is Filippo Donofo, Patrick Mifflin, and Chris Sologi. Say hi, everybody.
Hello.
Yo.
Hello.
Hi, so this episode is going to be for May 29th, 2020, last show for the month, I believe. Next one will be in June. You know, a bunch of stuff happened this week, but let's be honest, there's one thing that's on your mind right now, especially as we're recording this. And we'll be getting into it, but we do have some other stuff to talk about because there were some good stuff that also happened. And there are also some insane shit that happened that is not related to the stuff that we previously mentioned. But you know what? As we were saying before we started recording, and I'll go ahead and say it now. We've basically been saying for the last 3 years on this show that this was bound to eventually happen. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, America is a powder keg that's been waiting to explode. And Monday, a bunch of police officers in Minneapolis threw the match on top of it. Mm. We'll be getting into that more clearly in a little bit. And, of course, we do have yet another load from the COVID-19 dump truck because that shit is still happening. Even though summer is on its way now and there is heat and, you know, it seems that hospitalizations and such are down now. That shit's still spreading, so you'll got to keep your keep your social distancing and the health guidelines and all that shit. Mm-hmm. And please wear a mask. Yeah. And if you're not wearing a mask, maybe somebody nice will offer to give you one. Mm. And if they offer to give you one, please accept it and put it on.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, then you're just being an asshole. We're all trying to tell you something, and you're being the little impertinent, spoiled child trying to say otherwise. But anyway, so we will start off as we always do with what we've been up to this week. So, Phil, get us started. What have you been up to this week?
So I finished the last book of A Wheel of Time, so I'm done. After that third read-through, I finally actually understand that ending. So that's good. But it took me, like, three read-throughs to put everything together to the point where I'm like, oh, okay, that now makes total sense. So yeah, I guess maybe I should have paid attention to the to some other details in the previous two, but whatevs. At least I know now, and I could probably put that series away for, I don't know, 3-4 years now. Yeah, before I go through another one, because Goodreads is nice to, because it keeps track of what you've been reading, but it also tells you when you've read it. So yeah, you can basically keep track of how long it's been since you've read something last, and you know, work accordingly. So I've been doing that. Yeah, I got the Leonard Nimoy biography books. I Am Not Spock and I Am Spock on tap next. They're both short, so I figure I'll probably pass those out over the weekend and get those done. Yeah, except I've not read them, and I've heard they were pretty good, so might as well listen to them. And apart from that, well, I've been trying not to melt, because somehow the floor is lava in Canada. I don't know how that happened, but yeah.
Well, I mean, you guys do get heat waves up there every so often.
Yeah, no, we're going through one right now. It's usually, like, right at the beginning of the summer, we get one pretty bad one, and this is what we're going through right now. Then it kind of stabilizes for a bit to a, like, normal level of, like, you know, the 70s and maybe the low 80s, which is not bad. Yeah. You know, you can deal with that. And then occasionally you can go up into the 90s, and sometimes it'll get up to 100. So, yeah, it's interesting to be here, but yeah, I got the AC going, so, well, I would say if you hear it in the background, yeah, disregard that, but I'm going to be fixing that in post, so you probably won't hear it at all anyway.
Yeah. But yeah. Phil?
Yeah?
Did you just fucking say a boot?
What? That's what it's supposed to be. Isn't that how you say it? It's about time, eh?
Good job fighting those stereotypes, Phil. Anyway.
I thought that was an Ontario thing.
Yeah, it kind of,
no,
yeah.
That is...
It's Canada. Yeah.
Like, that's a Canada thing. Yeah. It's...
And they don't... They slip out unconsciously. You don't ever, like,
no.
intentionally say it. It just kind of happens. So.
Yeah. It's either... it's that's basically how you identify a Canadian.
Yeah.
They say a boot or sorry.
Yeah.
Instead of sorry.
Yeah. And yeah, it's probably the heat. It's affecting our brains.
Probably. Yeah. All right, Pat, what about you?
Well, I've been working with all my NHL projects. I've got another episode of NHL Rewritten ready to go here pretty soon. Mm-hmm. And I'm still doing some fine-tuning on the presentation of that show because it's definitely very different from the Utah Eagles stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If you've sat down and watched any of it. I'm also dipping into NHL 20 a little bit with the Creation Suite and kind of coming up with my own versions of current NHL teams' uniforms. Just to see what I can come up with. And it's been a lot of fun so far. There are a couple of designs. I've been through six teams. There are a couple of designs in that mix that I would like to revisit at some point already because I don't think I quite nailed it. But honestly, I'm looking even more forward to the rest of this project and seeing how it goes off. Other than that, I'm getting pretty close to laying a legitimate claim to the title of most cynical man in America, because whenever someone asks me in the future how miserable and jaded I was in my 30s, I can tell them I literally bet money against America's ability to recover from the COVID-19 pandemic.
Yep.
Because that is exactly what I'm doing with all of the stock market activity at this point. I am, now that everything's in the toilet, I'm putting my money where it will blow up at the first sign of a recovery or an attempted recovery. And then I'm going to ride that bubble, you know, as far as it'll take me. But I've also got presets in my stock portfolio to get out of Dodge at a certain point, percentage-wise, if it dips. Or if I see that Trump has his mission accomplished moment, then I'm just going to drop everything like it's on fire. And then, because we know for a fact that there are going to be two or three waves of this at minimum, I'm just going to do the same thing over and over again until we either wise up or get some sort of vaccine. And honestly, I won't be surprised if I can either make a down payment on a house by the time I'm done or just buy one with straight cash. Because I do not have any faith in the people in charge to actually make this work. So if I'm going to be watching the shit show play out around me, I might as well cash in. That's where I'm at mentally right now. So all right. That has been my week.
All right. Chris, what about you?
This has been a very busy week for me. Still working, not quite as much as I have been the past few weeks, but still kind of dealing with shit out there. But yeah, managed to find some time to do some things. I watched Snowpiercer for the first time.
The movie or the TV show?
The movie.
Ah.
It's on Netflix. Yep. Same director as Parasite.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely has some similar themes to it.
Bong Joon-ho.
Yeah. I guess the only one of those that isn't on Hulu.
Yep.
But yeah, definitely saw some similar themes about like the lower class fighting back,
mm-hmm.
That sort of thing. And the big difference is it's like majority Western cast to it, because the whole premise is that in trying to combat climate change, they end up causing a global ice age.
Yep.
because of chemtrails, whatever that kind of part of the whole story is. That's a bit weird, but everybody's on this train that goes across the world. Manages to go around the world for one full year. And it's about a revolt that happens on the train. And some wild shit happens. Some really good action scenes, especially especially with the tunnel that gets involved. And they got some definitely some really cool actors in there. Chris Evans is the main star. Mm-hmm. They're playing a dude who's kind of leading the revolt against the others. And it's pretty well done. A bit of an interesting way to end it, but works out pretty well for the most part. I started watching The Flash. It's on Netflix, the new season that aired last fall. So it begins with the introduction of Crisis on Infinite Earth that they were going to be doing later that season. If you know the original graphic novel, The Flash is a huge part of that.
Yeah, he is.
So the monitor kind of plays into that and tells him, like, if we're going to save all the multiverses, you know, you're going to have to die. Sort of thing. And he tries to time travel to the date that he is told to double check if he is right about this, if he's telling the truth. And gets injured by some weird old mechanic they set up that blocks him from getting to that specific date. Mm-hmm. It's like an injury that the Flash cannot heal from as quickly as he normally does, at least. And but then finds his old buddy, the other Flash, that is a doppelganger of his father, and helps him.
The old original Flash.
I don't know if it's the original Flash, but he is a doppelganger of his dad.
Right.
So he's kind of his mentor figure, father figure, if you will, who coincidentally has married the doppelganger of his mom, who is a scientist that's helping him do some work for his own universe. But they help him kind of send his mind to the future. And so he like witnesses all these different universes being destroyed, and he's kind of seriously fucked up by that. But the neat thing is that there's a bad guy that is also doing some shit, which is played by Dr. Suresh from Heroes.
Yep.
Which is pretty cool to see him still getting some work, because he was definitely one of the actors I liked a lot from that show. That hadn't quite stuck on anywhere, really. I'm not sure what the character is that he's playing, but it involves the whole season so far. It involves a lot of dark matter in a way that's almost comical, because it's I see like some pseudoscience going on, like with the way that they're trying to use it. But it's been good so far. Still going to work my way through it, and. Also started Space Force, which is out today.
Yeah, the new show on Netflix.
Yeah, with Steve Carell and
John
Malkovich and a bunch of others. And so far it's been really quite good. Definitely lampooning the notion of the Space Force, even with a few mentions of the POTUS, not naming him, but getting weird texts from him on this secure phone, that kind of stuff, getting weird requests, all that kind of stuff. A few episodes in on that, and that has been a lot of fun so far. Essentially got through a budget review with Congress, and they definitely have their analogs for actual congressional figures like Nancy Pelosi and AOC. So they do play around with some of that stuff as well. And, a lot of good stuff there so far. And, a lot of the stuff from that trailer, the most recent trailer, is basically from the first episode. So after that, there's a lot of other stuff. But, first episode, they're kind of sending this this satellite up into space. And the way that episode ends is pretty great. Mm. It's pretty well done, and yeah, it's fun. They got some neat characters here, especially his secretary, that he has constantly is told by guests not to tell Steve Carell's character that he is there. So he's constantly going into his office and finding somebody waiting for him. Then the guy pops in and he's like, "Oh yeah, he told me not to tell you." He's like, "Thank you, asshole," kind of thing. And he curses a lot. It's pretty great. He ends the first episode yelling "motherfucker."
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's a good time. As for games, I've been playing The Last of Us. I never beat it originally, so I'm playing it again on PS4. Mm-hmm. Just got a bit past meeting Bill. So mm-hmm. my way through it. That's about where
I was. Here's the funny thing about that. Everybody, you know when that trailer first dropped for The Last of Us with Ellie and I'm guessing her girlfriend, and everybody was like, "Why'd they have to make it? Why'd they have to start pushing that quote unquote gay agenda in The Last of Us?" None of you motherfuckers remember Bill, do you?
Yeah.
The fat, mulleted, gay redneck that you meet out in the middle of bumfuck Texas.
Yeah, he is definitely something.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when you have to set off all his traps just to get to him.
Yep.
He's not very happy about that.
Nope.
Yeah, that's been fun. Still trying to be mostly stealthy when I can, which means I have plenty of ammo for all my guns.
Mm-hmm.
But trying to get to the point where I can, if I need to go full on, I can do it. Yeah, not liking the bow so far. The infected are kind of too twitchy for it to really work. And also the notion of you holding the aim, and that is kind of how you cock it, is kind of weird compared to the way you traditionally use bows in games. It's it controls a bit differently than I was expecting, so yeah, that was kind of weird. But other than that, it's a lot of fun, especially a lot more fun because some of the areas I had some trouble in, like a lot of those stealth areas with the infected, was a bit tough the first time around.
Oh yeah,
I still kind of remember some of that stuff, like when you're going through the darker areas. It's like, oh, I gotta go through here, take out this guy, and that leads to this one and this one, and then you're home free, that kind of thing. Where I died a bunch because it was tough to pull it off, but I managed to get through that stuff a little bit more easily here. Played some Minecraft Dungeons. I streamed that yesterday. And that is a weird game, especially for the way Microsoft is running things these days.
Mm-hmm.
There's no cross-buy between Xbox and PC. There's no cross-play. Maybe just between Xbox and PC. I've seen articles about people being able to do that, so I assume it's some sort of not normal way of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no cross-save between any of the platforms. Multiplayer, there's no matchmaking. So if you want to play with other people, they have to be people on your friends list, which is also weird. And also if you're playing local, if you have like two people local or more, you can't just add another person via online. It's a lot of weird stuff. It's like, you guys are doing this. This seems like stuff you should have gotten nailed down, you know, ages ago.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when people think about Microsoft and what they're doing with Minecraft right now, where it's cross-play and all that. Except for cross-save, it's not. The worlds are specific to the platforms you make them on, but the Diablo part of it's been pretty solid so far. Nothing really out of the ordinary. There's no classes. That's the weird thing. It's all just weapons that you have. Mm-hmm. And the loot is pretty limited. But they do some interesting stuff with that. So, like, basically you just have one weapon, one armor, and one bow for loot. And then there's, like, three other spots that you can fill up with what they call, I forget what they call them, but they're essentially like special moves that you can use. You might get more powerful versions of them as you level up and just get more drops, that kind of stuff. But yeah, it's kind of weirdly simplistic, but as you level up, you get these enchantment points that you can spend on your weapons to like imbue them with new abilities or whatever. But you can also get, I've gotten a bunch of unique weapon drops already. They're like top tier items that have their own unique stuff to them. Like I have a pair of sickles that just cause poison clouds on enemies percentage of the time. And if you can kind of get that to get going with a crowd and then you just keep proccing it, it kind of just multiplies in terms of damage. So there's like a, there's some cool stuff there, but also the base difficulty they start you on is stupid easy. It's really boring. Once I got a look at the stats they quote for that stuff, it's like 0.6 multiplier difficulty. The second one, and it's got kind of torment levels in language that Phil knows. The second one is just 1x multiplier, and it's the third one they give you that's the only one you have, the highest one you have as you're playing through the campaign the first time. It's like 1.6. So that's where I was playing for the last few stages, and I died a decent bit. It was usually during boss fights or when I would just be stupid and run into a crowd that I wasn't able to take out as quickly as I thought for that kind of stuff. But the action's not really quite there, and like not having classes doesn't really feel great. It kind of just seems like it's not supposed to be a long game, but I'm not sure what the end game there is. It doesn't seem like there's a ton of variety or anything like that to it, like the way you would with Diablo. It's just like, oh, I'll start up a new character with this other class, see how that goes, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Here's just like, well, your one character can get all these different drops, these different weapons that'll change up how they play, but then it's like, okay, well, that's the only character you need, I guess. But when you... And the weird thing is the enchantment points stay with the weapons. So if you want them back, you have to... essentially like destroy them, dismantle them. Then you get the enchantment points back to spend on your new items that you got. So that's kind of a weird system, but at least you don't get screwed out of it if you don't want to, I guess. But then you come up with like, or have some spread across these different unique weapons that I had because they're just dropping frequently enough. And there's like a little town you have, but you're not really building it up. It's just these merchants show up that you can spend the emeralds you get to buy essentially loot crates of potential drops. But that's the only thing you can use for it is those emeralds. So it's like really weird to be just buying crates. It's like, well, these items are going to drop anyway when I'm playing stages, but it's also kind of like, I don't necessarily want to replay some of these areas multiple times. I don't know. It's a good game for Game Pass, I guess, but it's also only $20, so it's not really priced like it's supposed to be a Diablo competitor. Hmm. It's a weird game. I'm going to put some more time into it, but yeah, it's kind of weird. And also, I found a weird... there's a weird setting where this only pertains to people that stream that would be doing things outside of that window. But it would like recenter the cursor every time I was doing stuff outside the window. So like in the inventory, it would just keep snapping back when I was trying to go around because I didn't realize I had my cursor active on a window outside of the game. So I was like, why are these controls so messed up? I was like, oh, it was an option that you can turn off in the settings. Like, why is that a thing in the settings? Who would want this to happen normally? I don't know. It's weird. But yeah, it's an alright game so far. But let me put some more time into it. Like Diablo, the story's not interesting. So I'm kind of just listening to it the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll skip it any other time I play it, like I do in Diablo. Or it's like, oh, I'm not going to stay here for this 10-minute cutscene. Yeah, like there's also not much destructibility in the environments. Like I don't expect it to be Minecraft level, but there's a lot of boxes and crates and such. And I'm like, I can't smash these. There are specific like things that you can smash for, usually gems in them, or you can find chests for loot drops, that kind of stuff. But yeah, it's kind of a weird game. They tried to make Diablo, but for kids, and then it's missing some of the stuff that I would want in a Diablo game for that kind of thing. But yeah, it's a Game Pass game, I guess. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's been pretty much it. Playing some more Rocket League and all that, but that just keeps going. So how about you, Brandon?
All right. Well, first things first, as for me, I'm just about finished Valkyria Chronicles. I'm at like the very last fight before the game ends. So yeah, gonna probably do that tonight and finish that off. And since, you know, I'm kind of short on cash right now and, you know, still need to kind of save up for when Last of Us Part 2 comes out in about, say, 10, 12 days from now, I decided to take advantage of my PS Now subscription and decided to go and download a bunch of old JRPGs from the PS2 era. So I've got Wild Arms 3 and Rogue Galaxy.
Yep.
So, go ahead and give those a try tonight, too, probably.
Rogue Galaxy kind of reminds me a little bit of FF 12, a little bit.
Yeah. And also, yeah. I've actually never played it, so I'm going to be able to see how that game is. Yeah. So, anyway.
You definitely tell it's a level 5 game.
Oh, yeah. Like, they have a certain thing about their games, yeah. It's true. Other than that, anime as usual. I'm still watching the second season of Legend of the Galactic Heroes Dina Thieves. Also watching Agami Ga Kill on Netflix. By the way, as far as Netflix anime goes, Dorohedoro is now actually on English Netflix now. So if you want to get a chance and watch just one of the most batshit fucking insanely gory anime you will ever watch, Dorohedoro is like way up there. As for books, I got the second volume, Bond Undone, which is the second book in the Legend of the Condor Heroes quartet by Jin Yong. I think I've probably talked about Jin Yong and the whole wuxia genre once or twice, but basically, when they were deciding to translate these books into English, one of the things that the publishers did as sort of a way to promote the books is they called the whole Legend of the Condor Heroes and just the whole Condor's trilogy the, quote, Chinese Lord of the Rings, which is kind of the wrong way to describe it, and yet also the completely right way to describe it. It's the wrong way to describe it because, you know, it's not like an epic heroic fantasy type story. This is like a very old school type wuxia genre where it's like during a historic time period in ancient China, and there's a bunch of martial artists flying around and beating the crap out of each other, you know. But it is also, it can, however, you can very much describe it as the Chinese Lord of the Rings because, much like the Lord of the Rings, it's had such an insane cultural impact on not just the wuxia genre, but Chinese popular culture in general, that so many of the heroes and protagonists in those books have become like bywords. Because Jin Yong himself had a background in Hong Kong's film industry, he actually brought a kind of sort of cinematic perspective to wuxia fiction that hadn't existed up to that point, which made his work really popular. And the thing is, this stuff isn't just popular in China. It is popular basically everywhere that Chinese people live or is anywhere near China. So you got Hong Kong, Vietnam, Indonesia, Taiwan, Japan, all of these places that are nearby. Jin Yong and his stuff is known there. That's how big of an impact he has. Yeah, there we go. Anybody got anything else they want to add before we move on?
No, I'm good.
I think I'm good.
All right. Well, then, it is now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And because we're going to be getting into some petty shit later on, I thought it'd be nice if we just decided to sort of lighten the mood a little bit and talk about one of the biggest fucking failures in pop music history. All right, you want to hear that? Just an absolute travesty. Fucking just fails on every level. And the thing is, this is something that was released by one of the biggest, most influential acts in American popular music history. I'm talking about a little album that came out in the year 1992 called Summer in Paradise by the Beach Boys.
Oh, dear.
Okay, where to begin? Okay, first of all, come on, you all know who the Beach Boys are, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't have to explain who they are. Yeah. It's the fucking Beach Boys.
Classic, you know, yeah.
I also don't remember hearing a whole lot about them in the 90s, and I'm pretty sure there's a good reason for that.
Oh, I'm going to tell you. Okay, so, Beach Boys, they first premiered in the early 60s, basically defined part of the surf rock genre, sort of petered along into the late 60s, and thanks to the work of the band leader Brian Wilson, who was and still very much is a music genius, they helped somehow manage to actually like surpass their old sort of poppy surf work and manage to create some of the most amazingly evocative and ethereal musical soundscapes of the late 60s. And it's mostly because of Brian Wilson. Now, Brian Wilson is a genius, but there's the other thing about Brian Wilson in that he is schizophrenic. And I'm not saying that as a description, I mean literally. No, not Brian Wilson. Brian Wilson is actually a pretty okay guy. The problem is that he is, in fact, mentally ill. Like, legitimately mentally ill. He is a diagnosed paranoid schizophrenic who suffers from aural hallucinations and voices and shit like that.
Well, that explains the musical genius.
Yeah. He is, in fact, the first pop musician in America to write, arrange, produce, and perform his own material. They're not even, you know, Elvis or Little Richard or any of those guys actually did that. He was the first person to do that, and for that, he is fucking amazing. But he was also mentally ill, and at some point in the late 60s, it was starting to become obvious that it was becoming he needed help. It also probably doesn't help that he started hanging out with a dude you probably may have heard of by the name of Charles Manson.
What could possibly go wrong there?
So by the time 1970 was, he was in complete fucking disarray, and he needed help. So they called up a guy by the name of, let me see, what's his dude's name? He was a psychologist. His name was Eugene Landy. And Eugene Landy basically took over stewardship of Brian Wilson and his life and his business, and basically kind of turned him into like a fucking just... He was an asshole. He was abusive. He basically put Brian Wilson through a 24-hour red Benjamin, and he fucked up his legal rights to the extent that it wouldn't be well into the 80s that Brian Wilson was able to finally, like, pull himself away from this guy. And even by then, by the time the early 90s came around, he was still having to deal with shit because it's believed that Eugene Landy ghostwrote portions of Wilson's Wouldn't It Be Nice memoir, which, for the record, Wilson later disowned. So, okay. So basically what that meant is that, and for the record, it's not like the Beach Boys ever stopped touring or releasing albums. They still kept putting out music and they stopped touring. It's just that, you know, let's be honest.
What is insanity in the face of success?
Yeah, the thing is they weren't really that successful in the 70s and 80s. Basically what happened was that, I mean, they still managed to sort of keep a career as like doing music for like soundtracks and stuff for movies. So they still had that part of the business, and they did have a nice business going on the nostalgia circuit. But as far as like pop music success, I mean, that had kind of petered out by the late 60s. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, by the time the Flower Child shit started, these guys looked like a bunch of squares. Like, seriously. You know it. I know it. If fucking everybody knows it. And so you're wondering, okay, so Brian Wilson was basically being a sensitive pop genius who was also basically owned and had this guy Eugene Landy who had him by the ball. So who then was actually running the Beach Boys this whole time? Oh boy, okay. So there's the other major individual in the Beach Boys stories, a gentleman you may have heard of named Mike Love. Just to sort of get you an idea of who this guy Mike Love is. Mike Love was the only person in the pop music world who actually voiced his support for the Parents Music Resource Center in the 80s.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah, he's that kind of asshole. It's also possible that he kind of helped bring about Brian Wilson's eventual mental breakdown because he kept trying to stonewall Brian in a lot of meaningful ways. Once famously said, "Don't fuck with the formula," which should tell you the type of person he is musically as well. He is a pandering, talentless fucking hack who just somehow managed to actually co-write some of the Beach Boys' most famous songs. So all of this leads up to the late 80s. How many of you guys have ever heard of a movie called Cocktail?
Yeah.
It's a Tom Cruise movie. It's mediocre.
Oh, but, I stocked it in the bargain bin at Walmart once upon a time.
But there is one thing that movie did right. They decided to contract the Beach Boys to do a theme song for that movie. That theme song was Kokomo.
Mm-hmm.
And that song was a fucking monster.
Yeah.
The Beach Boys literally came out of fucking nowhere after like 20-some years of obscurity, and boom, they are a massive fucking hit again. They then quickly put together an album called Still Cruisin' that was made up of all their old soundtrack stuff, and it went platinum basically on Kokomo alone. Hmm. So here we are, once again, Beach Boys are once again a big deal again, and so Brian Wilson is still out of commission, so the only dude who has complete creative control over the Beach Boys is Mike Love. Hmm. And in 1992,
they put Majestic and its shit showness.
Yeah. In 1992, they put out the album Summer in Paradise. It was hot garbage. It is so bad. It is literally the only Beach Boys album that is not on Spotify.
Every band has one album that they disavow, and yeah, that's it for them.
And it just takes them years and years and years and years and years and years to ever come to grips with it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Mike Love barely even mentions it in his autobiography. He gives it like one sentence. And the reason this album is so weird about this album is because just its content, the way it was produced, the songs that are actually there. So first thing you know is that the first single from that from that album is Hot Fun in the Summertime, which, for those of you who don't know, that's a song from Sly and the Family Stone. Yeah. The original is nice, it's upbeat, it's a good tune. The Beach Boys version basically sounds like the theme song from Baywatch.
I'm laughing because he's not exaggerating.
It's bad. It's so fucking bad. And there is, of course,
given the time, I can kind of see why they went for it.
Well, if you've listened to – people often wonder, you know, why is it that a band like Nirvana suddenly came out of fucking nowhere in the early 90s with an album like Nevermind and it just exploded like it did? Well, it's because pop music in the early 90s sounded like Hot Fun in the Summertime. That's why.
Yeah.
It was shit. So then there was another song on there. It was actually a redo of actually one of their first singles, which was Surfing. The first one was like their first circle. It was a first take. It wasn't a big hit. It was very, very fucking primitive, you know? And so they basically they gave it the Richard Marx treatment. The drums are too loud. The guitar is too loud. It's got that sort of weird distorted drum loop that you hear from like I'm Too Sexy.
No.
Exactly. In fact, I'm going to be honest with you. There's basically two types of songs that are on this album. Bad versions of bad covers and bad versions of old Beach Boy song. And then there's 2.5, which is sort of new songs that basically do nothing but reference old Beach Boy songs. For example, the song, the title track, which is supposed to be a song about the environment, you know, it's supposed to be an environmental song, and yet they literally do nothing but reference a bunch of their hits for like the first three bars. Yeah, it's shit. But there's one thing on this album that makes it the absolute fucking travesty that is. Don't get me wrong, all the music up to this point has been shit. But there is one other song on there. So anybody who knows anything about the Beach Boys knows that Brian Wilson is just one of the Wilson brothers who were in the Beach Boys. One of the others was Dennis Wilson, who was the drummer. And he also had a couple of his own songs. One song that he did that's generally well-loved in both Beach Boys and in pop music history is a sweet little love song he recorded back in the 60s called Forever. If you ever hear it, it's like it's got like this sort of vulnerability to it. You know, Dennis Wilson isn't the greatest singer in the world, but he puts a lot of emotion behind it. So it's like, yeah, this is good shit. That's
a long way.
Yeah, but unfortunately, Dennis Wilson died in 1983. But there is a remake, a new version of Forever on this album. You know who sings it? A little bit about backstory here. Back in the early 80s, one of the touring guitarists who was with the Beach Boys while they were playing out in California, he met up with a young up-and-coming actor slash comedian you may have heard of by the name of John Stamos.
Oh, dear God.
I don't think where this is going.
You guys know who John Stamos famously played. Uh-huh. Yeah.
No interest in the outcome of this story.
Yeah, well, too bad, because you're fixing to hear it. Because now John Stamos is and always has been a Beach Boys super fan, and thanks to his connection with this guitarist, he got to meet up with Mike Love, and he and John Stamos both became fast friends, which should tell you the type of people that Mike Love and John Stamos are personally.
Yes.
And because of that, during the 80s, John Stamos, when he wasn't, you know, during his regular acting career, he would tour with the Beach Boys as a drummer and a backup singer. Famously, he's the guy on the percussion that you see in the video for Kokomo.
Yeah.
He's also the drummer in Hot Fun in the Summertime. He's also the drummer for their song Summer of Love, which is a hip-hop song.
Sort of.
Yeah, if you ever heard them play, you probably, if you know this, back in 96 when the Beach Boys did a appearance on Baywatch, This is the song that they did. It's terrible. Like, a fucking records crash does not belong on a Beach Boy song.
No.
No. And all of this is to sort of bring it around to tell you that John Stamos is a glorified mascot. Okay? He has never performed on a single Beach Boys album. He is barely a Beach Boy. Except for Forever. The only Beach Boys album and the only Beach Boys song he has ever actually performed for. And it is an abomination. Famously, if you ever watched Full House, which, you know, John Stamos played Uncle Jesse, you probably remember Uncle Jesse had his band Jesse and the Rippers. Yeah. Remember when he gets married to Aunt Becky?
Yeah.
This is the song that he sings at their wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Well, later on, they also did there was an episode where he was trying to prevent having the record company turning it into a rap song.
Yeah.
And so they actually made a video, basically, for Jesse and the Rippers about this song. This is the song.
Yeah, this didn't go well.
This song, I mean, not this song, of course, is terrible. This whole album is terrible. And to put a delicious shit cherry on top of the shit sundae, according to some sources, this album sold fewer than 1,000 copies on its release.
Yeah, that's an accomplishment.
That much?
To put that just in perspective here, the only other Beach Boys album that released that had anything close to that number of low sales was the MIU album, which came out in 1978. And that thing still sold a couple thousand records. Summer in Paradise couldn't even break 1,000. It is so bad that it was only given one pressing on CD and has never been remade again. It is so rare that you find used copies of this CD on Amazon for $100 at the lowest.
Hmm.
Fortunately, you can listen to the whole album on YouTube, but don't.
You can, but you should.
It's not worth it. It's really, really
don't,
not
worth it. Don't do that to yourself.
Yeah.
And Mike Love is still an asshole. In fact, to most Beach Boys fans, he's basically the Antichrist.
Hmm.
And now you know why. And that has been yet another edition of Brandon's Random Factoid.
Okay.
Now then.
It sounded like you needed to get that out of your system.
Yes, I did. Because I actually listened to this album from start to finish.
I had a feeling you listened to it so the rest of us didn't have to.
Yeah, and I regret it.
Mm. There are thank you for your service.
Things in life I regret, and this is one of them.
Yeah, that's 50 minutes. You're never getting back.
Nope. And the album's only like half an hour, and yet it still felt like two.
Mm.
All right, anyway, so it is now time for the show proper, and as always, we have to start off with our asshole of the week. You guys know who our asshole of the week is. Everybody knows who our assholes of the week is. It's those four fucking pigs in Minneapolis who murdered George Floyd in cold fucking blood in broad daylight with everybody watching.
Now, if you want to run away with asshole of the week, that's how you do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And remember, this was not long after we discovered what happened to Ahmaud Arbery right here in Georgia. This is in Minnesota.
Which has had their fair share of asshole cops over the years. Cause
oh, yeah.
The one woman that was just walking in an alleyway, and a cop just pulled up and shot her.
Yeah.
For just being
and,
in an
alleyway. And we saw this. Yeah, she, and we saw the whole thing get caught on tape. That one fucker, Michael Chauvin, or whatever his name is, I don't give a shit, was laying down his leg on top of George Floyd. I'm going to say his name again, George Floyd, one more time for the record, George goddamn Floyd, on his neck for 7 minutes, strangling him to death. Now, the autopsy claims that he died from something that was unknown at the time. It don't matter. They still fucking killed him.
Yeah, I think the most recent one said he had pre-existing conditions.
Yeah, which they probably, gee, I bet that, you know, putting pressure on a person's neck with the hard side of your knee for 7 odd minutes probably doesn't help that.
That's a hell of a pre-existing condition there.
Yeah.
But yeah, the thing is, beside with that that photo you saw of that, if you saw it from the other side of the street, there were two other guys doing the exact same thing to the other parts of his body.
Yep.
Kneeing on his back and his legs to supposedly restrain him, even though we saw footage from the nearby restaurant where he was actually handcuffed, where they said he had resisted arrest and all this. It's like, he was just walking with them. He's not resisting anyway.
Yeah.
This guy knew exactly what could happen if he tried anything.
Yeah. And you want to know why they did this? Why they had to kill this man?
Forgery.
Because he supposedly forged someone's signature on a check.
Well, I read supposedly had a
counterfeit
faked $20 bill.
Yeah. That's all. Didn't have any weapons on him.
That's worth the death penalty.
He didn't struggle. He didn't resist. We've seen the videos that came out before that incident happened. He wasn't resisting at all. He was literally doing everything.
The EMS that came over had to like reach his hand under the cop's knee to take his pulse.
Yeah. Yeah. The dude had blood coming out of his nose. And the people around him were saying, dude, that guy can't breathe. There's blood coming out of his nose. They didn't do shit. He just kept putting his knee down harder. Yeah. And now what's fucking happened? Minneapolis is on fire. And that's what fucking happened. Hands. Yeah. And they ain't got nobody to fucking blame but themselves.
Yeah, there's a kid that was speaking about it. And it's like, yeah, they're supposed to be the ones protecting us, but they're not doing that.
No.
This is what happens when a community feels like they're not being protected.
Yeah. And you know what? If you want me to shed any tear for somebody looting a big box store like Target or taking out a couple windows that were already insured, you're barking up the wrong fucking tree.
And I saw people doing it. It's like, none of those people that work at those stores give a shit.
No.
It's extra time off for them.
They ain't gonna lose any money either. All that shit's insured. They lost things. This guy lost his life. And it's only gonna grow from here because they stormed the police station. They looted all of the riot gear and the guns there. And then they set it on fire.
Yeah, there's talk about a gas main, I guess, valve being broken or something that could explode, but I don't think that happened.
Yeah. All we know is that it's burning down, and I hope it burns to fucking ashes.
Yeah.
And it's going to spread from there, because next thing, the one guy who has actually been arrested, the guy who was had his knee on George Floyd's neck, he's in custody right now. They say he's been arrested and charged with third-degree murder. The truth of the matter is they actually have him in protective custody. Because all of the cops in Minneapolis had to form a human wall around his house once the people found out where this fucker lives. The only reason he's still alive right now is because they were putting themselves between the protesters and his house. That's it.
Yeah, and you know what the other thing about this guy? He's killed before.
Yeah, he's a Trump supporter, and he has that Make Whites Great Again shit on his Facebook page.
Shocking. Yeah.
And he's killed before.
Yes, he has. This ain't his first instance of police brutality. He's done this shit before.
Judicial execution.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, all right, we got one cop. Where's the other three?
Yeah.
Your accessories.
And as we're speaking right now, there are a huge group of protesters right now in Washington, D.C. Up until recently, they had gathered outside of the fucking White House, clashing with Secret Service. They painted fuck Trump graffiti on the nearby Freedman's Bank. They're now, at last I checked, heading towards Trump Hotel.
Ooh.
Not like there's shoddy materials there.
I like where this is going.
Yeah, we'll see how this goes by tomorrow. But
yeah, before they arrested this cop, they arrested one of CNN's reporters who's covering the
event. And they caught the whole fucking thing on camera.
Yeah, that's kind of the worst person to arrest.
It's like, oh, live camera. Man, how can we possibly escalate this situation further? I know. Let's arrest the press.
Yeah, who specifically was asking, like, where do you want us to be at?
Yeah.
We'll do it. And they refused to answer them and then just arrested them. Yep. Because they wouldn't move to an undisclosed location. They were not disclosed.
Yeah.
It's like, what? You guys are just baiting these people. And, of course, the guy that was arrested was black.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yes, and along with this, there's
been a lot of protests all around the country.
Yep.
This seems like the one
that right here in Georgia, there's a big one happening in Atlanta.
Yeah. This seems like the one that is really sparking a lot of anger. Well,
like I said, we're in the middle of the COVID-19 pandemic, which is bad. We now have one of the highest rates of unemployment since the Great Depression, if not greater. We have boiling racial tensions that have been happening for the last decade.
Yeah.
And we have this troll in the greatest troll in the world, Donald fucking Trump, who happens to be president of the United States, who basically seems to, in his administration's whole reason to exist, this is to cause as much pain and suffering as they possibly can just for the lulls.
Yeah, he is.
Like, do you want to know what's really scaring the shit out of all the powers that be right now? Because I'll tell you, the riots that are happening right now, they're not race specific. They got white people, black people, Asians, Latinos, and they're all united against a common enemy. That's why they had to clamp down so hard yesterday, Wednesday, when they started firing the tear gas into the protesters, and now look what they've done.
Yeah, they're not putting this one out.
No.
This is what happens when you got like an administration that really doesn't believe that the people are willing to just say, fuck it.
Oh.
You push people too far, it's going to happen. And yeah, it did.
I say it a lot on here, play stupid games, win stupid prizes. I don't mean it as a challenge.
No. It's a statement and a fact.
Hmm. Yeah.
We also have another saying we say all the time, which is, do you want the French Revolution? This is how you get the French Revolution.
Here we go.
Well, motherfucker, you got the French Revolution.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're daring the peasants to revolt.
Yeah. And honestly, that's probably where we're going to end it for the night for that story. We'll see what things are going to be like this time next week. But I got a feeling this isn't going to burn out so easy.
Oh, no, 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 no.
No.
Don't get me wrong. We've had shit like this over the last decade happen in the U.S. We had it happen in Baltimore. We had it happen in St. Louis. All that shit. This one, for some reason, seems to be the straw that broke the camel's back.
Timing.
And I think it helps that a lot of people are at home.
Yeah.
There's no work involved for a lot of these people. That's encouraging them not to.
They're not missing work to do this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not missing now, work because a lot of them don't have work anymore.
No.
Because
it's like they're out of work.
Things.
Yeah. All right. But, obviously, those aren't the only assholes that we had this week. We had a particular Karen in New York who basically tried to commit murder by cop when she called cops on a black man who was birdmarked watching.
Yeah, after he pointed out that her dog was not on a leash per the signs in Central Park.
Yep.
Who then proceeded to put the leash on the dog and then hold the leash up near her hip, so the dog was kind of swinging around, choking, as she called the cops.
Mm.
And claimed that this guy was she saying assault or something like that? I forget what the specific charge she was alleging, but the guy got it all on tape.
Mm. And so she got fired from her job.
Womp, womp.
Yeah, where'd she work? She was in an investment
like
firm?
In a law firm. Like yeah, that. A firm of some kind.
Yeah, but yeah.
The important thing is not anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, yeah. By the way, just wanted to let you know, curfew is now in effect in Minneapolis and St. Paul.
And how many fucks are being given?
People aren't going home.
Yeah, none of the fucks.
Yeah. They're probably going to call in the National Guard, and if this keeps going, you're going to see martial law in Minneapolis.
Yep.
God damn. All right, well, anyway. And then, of course, we had another group of assholes. People who went to Memorial Day parties and just crowded around without any kind of masks or gloves or social distancing.
Nope. In so many fucking places. This article mentions so many fucking places.
Yeah.
Club in Houston, Rural North Carolina, at Ace Speedway, Daytona Beach. There's an event called Orlando Invades Daytona. It was canceled. Hunters still dance in the street on top of cars near the boardwalk. There was, let's see, some stuff in Houston, Missouri, the Ozark, Lake of the Ozarks. There was a pool party with tons of people there. Maryland had some stuff. D.C. had some stuff. Yeah, there's all over the fucking place. People have no moderation on this shit. Like, hey, it's Memorial Day weekend. Yeah, you partied in the past, but that's not what we were doing this year. Because we got more important things going on, like people's health and safety. But not to these people. It seems like this was kind of a thing where these people were probably the sort of people that reacted to the cancellation, such as like, well, now what am I going to do? This is ruining my life. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, put your life on hold for a few months at least.
Mm-hmm.
For the sake of other people's lives.
Yeah. Like, look, if you're angry about the fact that, you know, you're out of work and basically having trouble getting food on the table, hey, we sympathize. That's why the fuckers in Minneapolis are burning shit to the ground right now, amongst other reasons. But here, you're just being a vindictive asshole.
Selfish asshole.
Yeah. And we have an epidemic of selfish assholery in this country.
Yeah.
Well, that's gone back since time immemorial.
Yeah, but it's just they don't seem to have a filter anymore.
Well, because...
look who we elected, yeah.
They've got an enabler now.
Yeah. Yeah. But, fortunately, it wasn't all bad. We do have some heroes of the week, and our first hero of the week are the people at Twitter. Because Twitter decided to actually try and fact-check one of President Trump's tweets. And he did not like it.
Yeah, he did the typical right wing of censorship.
Yeah.
Censorship.
Yeah, and censorship does not apply to privately owned spaces like Twitter.
So this whole yelling about anti-conservative bias is we don't have an anti-conservative bias. We have an anti-crazy and anti-liar bias.
Yeah,
it just happens that most of them are conservatives.
Conservatism under that umbrella.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The funniest thing that came out of this is the Gab account was on Twitter was advertising their wares to Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And which is hilarious because Gab is a somewhat competitor for the people that Twitter doesn't want.
Yeah.
Which means it's all Nazis and shit.
Yeah. Yep.
And the fact that one, they have a Twitter account because they can't get the word out otherwise.
Yeah, that's fucking funny.
And two, it's a verified account. So Twitter's like, we don't give a shit if we verify you. You don't matter. Yeah, it was just... I was like, yeah, ban Trump. Let him go to Gab. Make that the Trump platform.
Mm-hmm.
He can say whatever shit he wants because they're all Nazis.
Yeah,
that's another PR nightmare for him.
Yeah. Unfortunately, yes. This is resulting in that executive order of his, which
basically... Yeah! Which, by the way, has absolutely no power. I just want to point that out.
No.
It's toothless as with everything else he does.
Yeah. And as Pat here says, yeah, the First Amendment obviously has something to say about it. But also some other stuff in the Constitution, like say the Commerce Clause, for example.
Well, I'm hoping that if this ends up before the SCOTUS, they end up going to the First Amendment for it, just because that ruling would be so hilarious to read.
Yeah.
Because think about what a First Amendment defense of Twitter in this situation would actually read like in legalese. I want that so bad.
Yeah. And finally, keep going.
I was going to say that I saw somebody actually like looking over the specifics of the actual process that he overlays here, and it's something that would take so many months to go through that it's effectively a non-starter. To go through this, like if they started it today, they probably wouldn't get through the first whatever request by election time.
Yeah,
and it's like, all right, this means nothing.
But you notice the timing of this. This is happening like on I think it was like Wednesday. No, it came out on Thursday. Which is, you know, nicely timed to deflect away, to try to deflect away from the fact that Minneapolis is on fire.
Yeah. It was.
By the way, just out of curiosity, Phil, is that a story up there in Canada?
Oh yeah, national news is covering it.
Oh wow, I've been told that the places like the Guardian and the BBC are also covering it too. So
yeah,
the whole world is watching Minneapolis.
Yeah.
You know what to do. Yeah.
But I almost kind of want to give Twitter a co-asshole of the week, because imagine how much trouble could have been saved if they'd done this from the beginning.
Yeah, but I think, you know, they were kind of worried that, you know, there would be repercussions. But at this point, I think Jack Dorsey doesn't have any fucks left to give.
Yeah.
Well, he realizes, like, they're protected pretty well.
Yeah.
From things. And, yeah, I don't know if you saw the did this to more tweets today.
Yeah, they're going to start enforcing it pretty broadly now. So, thankfully.
Yes. That's what I wanted. Tweet is effectively referencing the... if you loot, they're going to shoot kind of thing. Which is a very white supremacist thing to say.
Yeah.
Because that phrase picked up during the civil rights movement by cops. Right. So Trump is echoing that, and he's like, "Oh, I'm just saying, I didn't actually mean it." It's like
that's it. No. Yeah, he does it for plausible deniability.
Yeah, like
that's why he always throws that in at the end.
This is not the time for that shit to quote unquote joke about things that are actually very serious, because people are dying because of the shit you're saying.
Yeah,
it's not time to be saying anything that isn't serious. And so if you want to see an actual presidential person, look up Obama's statement on the whole thing. It's actually measured, reasonable, reassuring and all that.
Yeah.
And
that's all well and good. And you know what, Brock? I like you. I really do. But you could have curtailed this shit yourself when you were president.
Yeah, that's a whole thing to put on one president.
I know.
All the police force in this country.
I know. Doesn't change the fact, though.
He at least did some things, but...
He tried to. I will give him that.
Yeah.
But anyway, moving on.
Yeah.
Last hero of the week, Colin Kaepernick. He's setting up a fund to pay for defense lawyers for the protesters. So,
Calling it the Know Your Rights Camp Legal Defense Initiative.
Yep.
Announced it on his Instagram. Said, in fighting for liberation, there's always retaliation. We must protect our freedom fighters. Started a legal defense initiative to give legal representation to freedom fighters in Minneapolis, paid for by At Your Rights Camp. They got links to that stuff. But, very smart, because one of the things getting referenced is the picture of him kneeling during the national anthem versus the cop kneeling on George Floyd's neck.
Yep.
And like, if one makes you mad but not the other, then you're fucked up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's some issues going on.
Oh, yeah. Yes, there is. Okay. Somehow we're going into the COVID-19 dump truck, and it doesn't seem like the heaviest shit we have to talk about this week. Yeah. But anyway, beep, beep, here it comes. Fresh load from the COVID-19 dump truck. To start with, worldwide there are now 5.9 million cases, 364,000 deaths. In the United States alone, there are 1.7 million cases, and yes, we finally passed the 100,000 threshold. It's now 100,002.
Yep.
And guess who went golfing? of that was happening.
Oh, yeah, got to get it in.
Yeah.
Finally opening back up.
Mm-hmm.
On the upside, this number is a little lower than I would have expected from last week. So
yeah, honestly, yeah.
Yeah, though what happened last weekend, we'll see how this goes in a few weeks. That's the unfortunate part is that this stuff takes time.
Yeah.
And people like we saw in the Memorial Day parties,
mm-hmm.
They don't like waiting for things to progress.
Mm-hmm.
It's either now or never.
Yep.
Like, well, this virus doesn't like you put limits on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we saw Brazil and Russia are continuing to surge past every other country besides us.
Mm-hmm.
Brazil's at 465K and Russia's at 387K.
Yeah.
Which is surging way past the UK and Spain and all that.
Yep.
So, congrats.
So, just to show you, it took a while, but the middling steps that the state took, combined with the initiative that the people and the local places basically took before the state acted, has actually helped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We just
need people to keep doing the work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This isn't clap your hands and say, all right, we're done.
Yeah. And of course, it's not mentioned on here, but I'll go ahead and mention it now. New Zealand. They no longer have any new cases, and they released the last infected person from their hospital this week.
Yeah, they got a reasonable person running.
Yeah. And it worked.
Yeah. Also a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Which has been some of the best successes for countries in the world.
Yeah.
Even women run countries.
Some adults.
And, of course, New Zealand isn't the only. Vietnam basically kicked the virus's ass by both being really strict on the quarantine when it started and then keeping track of, building up, case trails and everything of where infected people had been just in case, they could see if other people had been infected. They also paid for, if people were infected, they put them in quarantine. They paid for, obviously, all their health care. They also paid them 80% of their salaries for that time they would be in there. And they gave them bon mi.
Okay, that's a bonus.
Yeah. Some people complained because they were rich assholes. Because, unfortunately, Vietnam, even though it is a one-party socialist state, unfortunately, they do have their small number of rich assholes in their population. One of which, by the way, lied about her European tourism and actually reintroduced the virus back into the country.
Oh, congrats.
Yeah, but also like Taiwan and South Korea, they've done pretty good as well. I would also say Singapore did pretty good, but I don't want to give Singapore too much credit because Singapore is basically Disneyland if you got public whipping for chewing gum.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Anyway, moving on. Mitch McConnell is claiming that the next stimulus bill will be the last, and hopefully this will be his last term in Congress.
Yeah.
Hey-o!
This is a weird, bold claim to make.
Mm-hmm.
It's just him saying, we might get one more here, and then we don't care anymore.
Because
the House has already put out a relief plan that they approved.
Mm-hmm.
And the Senate's just sitting. Mm-hmm. They're going to think about it next month.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yep. Mitch McConnell is, his urgency is always important to him.
Mm-hmm.
That turtle sensibility.
Mm-hmm. All right. Alrighty then. Next up, Trump claims that the U.S. will soon be leaving the World Health Organization.
Yeah, he announced the that today.
Yeah. Don't know if he's actually going to go through with it, though.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You know, this is a great thing to announce in the middle of what's going on.
Especially when we're trying to get a vaccine for this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're not willing to investigate China as far as, like, the man-made virus shit.
Mm-hmm.
All this conspiracy shit he's doing.
Yeah. And what else? Oh, yeah. Only half Americans say that they'll get vaccinated for COVID-19, according to a new poll. I hate anti-vaxxers so goddamn much.
Mm.
Just a raging, blood-dripping hatred.
Yeah, I don't know about this kind of poll right now.
Yeah, that was close. What I was...
Because it's like, we're not even that close to a vaccine yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Looking at maybe the first half of next year, we'll have one.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, let's see how things play out, because obviously it seems like this fall is probably going to not be great at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they'll probably, that percentage will probably go way up.
Oh, yeah.
People see, like, oh, they weren't fucking lying to us.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately. These are the kind of people, unfortunately, that, you know, there are kids where, you know, you can tell them, okay, now, little Jimmy, remember, don't touch the stove or it'll burn you, you know, or don't, you know, stick a fork into the electrical outlet. It'll shock you.
Yeah.
And, you know, the ones who would take the vaccine, those are the kids who listen. They're like, okay, maybe I shouldn't do this. This would hurt me.
Yeah.
And then they got these assholes who go ahead and touch the stove anyway, or put the fork into, you know, the outlet anyway.
Yeah.
Because that's the only fucking way they learned their lesson.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did see a weird guy today who was thanking people for wearing masks that were near him. I was like, that's weird, but that's better than nothing, I guess.
Yeah, I know.
Better than other things you could do. It's
become a self-defense issue.
Mm-hmm.
I'm waiting for somebody to pull a Taurus judge on somebody who doesn't social distance.
Mm.
Because I really think that's where this is going to have to go for people to take it seriously.
Mm-hmm. All right. And next up. Stylist working for Great Clips in Springfield, Montana. Or is that Missouri?
Missouri.
Okay, yeah. Springfield, Missouri worked 8 days while they were infected with COVID-19.
Yeah, and that's what happens when you open up so quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got their hours here for what they worked. It was like almost every day for about a week and a half. You went there, get yourself checked out.
Yeah, because you probably got it. I guess they were asymptomatic.
It worked while sick. Let's see. Not sure what she... had.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's they're going to see a lot of these.
Yeah. Yeah, something tells me the only way we actually get rid of this is when we all get antibodies the old fashioned way.
Unfortunately.
That's the death toll way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Unfortunately. Obviously, when there's a vaccine out, I'll be like first in line to get it.
Yeah. I'll be getting it.
Yeah. It'd be like what it used to be with vaccines, where people fucking lined up to get them.
Mm-hmm.
It was huge news. People celebrated it.
Mm.
Not doubted that they worked or not.
Mm-hmm. And they worked, by the way. That's why polio doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
That's why less kids died now than they did back then.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Had debilitating illnesses and deformities.
Mm. Yeah. And then we got to get one more Trump thing in here because, Joe Biden, on Memorial Day, he went to, I think it was, he went to Arlington to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. And he went there, of course,
wearing. Give a fuck.
Yeah.
Well, also because, you know, his son was military and died.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, he's buried there.
I forget about that.
And he went there wearing a mask because, you know, there's a bunch of people gathered in one place. You want to be considerate. Don't want to make other people.
And he's high risk too, so.
Yeah, because, I mean, he's old as fuck.
Yeah.
He's in that high risk group, so he's just being smart. And so, of course, President Trump decided to mock him and make mask a partisan issue.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't think there was too many people there because Secret Service was keeping people at bay.
Yeah, probably.
And Jill, too. And so let's see. Trump said, let's see, where is it at? This macho stuff for a guy, I shouldn't get going, but it caused people's lives. Oh, that's Biden. It's Biden and Trump. Yeah, he responded to it saying, this macho stuff for a guy, I shouldn't get going, but it costs people's lives. It's costing people's lives. Trump's position amounts to stoking deaths, he said. Also said, presidents are supposed to lead, not engage in folly and be falsely masculine. Also, Fox News host Britt Hume also mocked him, saying this might help explain why Trump doesn't like to wear a mask in public.
Mm.
It's also because he's an asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's said, like, he doesn't want to give the press the satisfaction of seeing him with a mask on.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what is fucking wrong with you?
Yeah.
Like, they want you to see, and, see you wearing a mask because you're a person that gives a damn.
Yeah. And now for something that's just hilarious. So, obviously, with a lot of these, you know, when we're testing for vaccines and stuff, you have to do this by testing on animals, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of those animals end up being monkeys. And there were a bunch of monkeys in a lab in India who broke out of their cages, swiped a bunch of blood samples, and fled the lab.
Wasn't there a movie about this?
Planet of the
There
Apes.
Isn't. There should be.
Yeah, it's the new Planet of
now
the
that I think about it, isn't that how 28 Days Later got started?
More or less.
Oh, some movie.
But yeah, this...
I just love it that the conspiracy theory about the virus escaping from a lab has actually just happened.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they're pretty nonchalant about it from what it seems. Like, well, we had to just get their blood samples again, I guess. It said monkeys grabbed and fled with the blood samples of 4 COVID-19 patients who were undergoing treatment. We had to take their blood samples again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of weird to, like, well, we kind of had to do it again, I guess. Like, oh, well.
Yeah,
this happens.
Monkeys run away with samples all the time. It's no big deal.
And there's a video of it if you want to see them.
All right.
But yeah, they saw... Yeah, they attacked a laboratory technician who was walking across the campus holding the blood samples before taking the samples for themselves.
Huh.
Mm.
So they figure, well, he's got
they
this case
their
with them.
Family. Man, you wouldn't believe the day I had.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a thing that happens more often in India. Monkeys.
Just, well, it's a place more often than not. It's a thing that's common in any place where monkeys are out in the wild, period.
Yeah.
Monkeys are little fucking thieves. They will straight up just steal your shit right out of your pocket if you aren't careful.
Yeah. Especially if it's you treat them like alley cats and such and feed them.
Yeah.
They're
like,
yeah, of course they're going to come
in the park.
Yeah.
No, they're basically little people.
Yeah. That's why they do testing on them. Because
Which they're basically
the
selfish little
I can imagine.
Toddlers that can climb trees. That's that's what a monkey is.
So that happened.
Yeah. Also, Disney World will be reopening on July 15th.
Sure.
Yeah, okay. It can reopen. Well, okay, there's going to be a bunch of people that go.
I mean, for the exclusive right to get infected at Disney.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On Disney's dime.
I'm just glad I'm going to get paid before that happens.
Yeah, so they're going to have measures for this. Employees and guests will be required to wear face coverings, undergo temperature screenings before entering the parks. Disney will reduce capacity at the parks and resorts and will temporarily suspend parades, fireworks, other events that create crowds. What you mean, like the park doesn't create crowds? The resort will also enable cashless transactions by expanding contactless payments. Disney will also increase the number of available hand sanitizing stations.
Yeah, and the lines.
And they're going to increase the prices, I assume.
If you're of the belief that hell is other people, stay away.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess what, it'll be here next year.
Yeah, it will.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it will.
They're yes, it one, will. Of the, one of the businesses you can count on being around next year.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to convince my parents that they need to just get their shit ready before winter comes around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just in case. Not sure if I'm getting through to them or not, but hey, I did all I could.
Yeah.
Anyway, and finally, the Boston Marathon, for the first time in history, has been canceled. It will be replaced with a virtual race.
Yeah, this is a weird thing that they're doing. So, yeah, they initially postponed it until September 14th and decided, yeah, we're just going to have to cancel this.
Yeah.
And the virtual race.
Yeah, I was going to say, this seems like something that would get lost in the translation. Some sports can do it, but I don't
think what they're doing is, so they're going to be refunding entry fees to everyone who has a registered, who was a registered participant. Mm-hmm. Those who enter the race will also be offered the chance to remotely compete a 26.2-mile run in order to get some of the marathon's iconic unicorn emblazoned gear. Participants in the virtual marathon will be required to complete a continuous marathon within a 6-hour time period, anytime between September 7th and 14th. They can map out their own 26.2-mile solo run. The BAA only says that it must be completed continuously on the same day and not broken up over several days. In return for proof of finishing within the 6-hour time period, the BAA will send virtual marathoners their official 2020 Boston Marathon program, participant t-shirt, medal, and runner's bib. So they just let them kind of do their own thing.
Yeah.
Get the rewards.
Mm-hmm.
It would be interesting to see like videos of this stuff, what people do.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the person to do a ROM hack of world class track meet and do 26 miles on an NES power pad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is a content creator's dream come true.
Mm-hmm. There's some interesting stuff that can happen here.
yeah,
but as far
right.
as tracking runs, well, Runkeeper and stuff like that, they can do that. So.
And that's it for the for this week's load from the COVID-19 dump truck. Join us next week when we'll have a fresh load for your face.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be there.
We're not done with it yet.
Yeah. Well, all right. Now to get away from all the serious shit. Do y'all notice that rats are starting to show up more often now? Or mice or just rodents in general? Because they're kind of coming out of their homes searching for food since most of the restaurants are still shut down.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird thing that's been going on. I think I've also heard that in the New York subway tunnels, like they're so used to food being dropped around that they're just getting very aggressive looking for food. But yeah, the CDC put out this warning that there's an increase in rodent activity in areas around where food is normally procured.
Yeah.
So they're kind of getting out into the streets looking for food. Because humans are a huge part of their food supply.
Yeah, just FYI, I definitely know that they're starting to show up around here in my neighborhood because I had to take the trash out to the dump this afternoon, and I found a couple dead rats at the bottom of one of my trash cans.
A second, I thought you were going to say you almost got mauled.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that happened, too, but... Yeah, they're out and about. So anyway, next up. Okay, so we're all big anime fans here, and so we've talked in the past about Kyoto Animation and what happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
That awful arson attack that killed a bunch of their staff and severely injured a bunch of others.
Oh, they finally arrested them, didn't they?
Yeah, they finally arrested the bastard. Which, funny enough, I thought they'd actually already caught the guy beforehand. Because wasn't he, like, really badly burned? Or is it possible that this is an accomplice?
Not badly enough.
Yeah. All right, yeah, Chris, LSM.
I didn't add this one.
Ah.
I didn't add it.
Did you add this one?
I don't know where this one came from. You got random people right. adding well, stuff to our story list.
Wow. So yeah, they got a picture of the dude, and yeah, he basically looks like a human lizard because of all the burns. His name's Shinji Aoba. I think what was happening was that he might have been put into hospital first, so that he could recover from his injuries.
Yeah, and then just arrested him now.
Yeah, because apparently his burns were so severe that he had to like go in for like skin grafts and shit, something like that. I think. Anyway, let's see. Shinji Aoba, 42, was detained on allegations of murder and arson 10 months after our officers had obtained a warrant for his arrest. Police had to wait for him to recover from injuries sustained in the fire he allegedly started. Yeah, so
wait for
they
cool
did
off.
Have the guy. Yeah, they had to let him recover first before they could actually take him into custody, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, it happened July 2019, and you know, Kyoto Animation are behind some very beloved anime series. For example, The Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya, I think that's how that's pronounced. They recently did Fire Force, which is amazing, by the way. it basically sent shockwaves through both the anime and manga community worldwide and through Japan society, because it was the deadliest violent crime they've had in decades. Like, I think the closest one that actually matches this
is the
sarin attacks in the Tokyo subway by Shoko Asahara and the Shinrikyo cult. Yeah, so that's how bad it was. I'm going to have to do a Brandon's random factoid on that one of these days, aren't I?
Yeah.
About the sarin gas attacks. Because, holy shit, that one goes in, down the fucking rabbit hole.
Well, there was a lot going on there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, he apparently, because of the fire he started, he sustained severe burns to his face, torso, and limbs, and he was unconscious for several weeks. He was treated and underwent multiple skin grafts at a hospital in Osaka. And he was sent to a hospital in Kyoto in November to continue his recovery. And then, of course, I guess this week he was finally officially taken into custody because he was now deemed healthy enough to actually do that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, fuck this guy. All right. And next up. So for those of you who may have been out shopping in the past week, you might have noticed that meat prices have been steadily increasing recently. And U.S. government's now going to probe, try why exactly that's happening. By the way, you really don't have to, because a bunch of the people in the meat industry were already warning about this ahead of time, including the CEO of Tyson Foods.
And meat's production facilities are very susceptible to COVID-19.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, meat production in general is very susceptible to diseases because all that fucking blood and body fuck fluids everywhere, you know? I mean, that guts and shit's got to go somewhere.
Gross.
Take it from somebody who slaughtered a pig when he was a kid on his grandparents' farm. That shit doesn't just go away. You got to put that stuff somewhere.
Yeah, my high school was across the street from a rendering plant.
Yeah. You can't buy this shit with Monopoly money, can ya? But, this would be a good time, I think, now for everybody to start practicing Meatless Mondays.
I'm just gonna look into Neeson stock.
Yeah. For the record, I've actually started doing Meatless Mondays, not for any ethical reason or anything, but because... Well, I'm almost 35, and you know, when we get our age, we kind of need to start thinking about what it is we're eating regularly.
Yeah.
I will say, you should explore something known as Indian dal. That shit is delicious. And it's completely vegetarian.
I've just decided that I'm going to live out my days happily with heartburn.
Yeah, me too. I mean, it's only one day out of the week, so. But yeah, so, all right, and next up. You guys know those 5G bio shields that have been, and people have been talking about recently?
Yeah.
It's like, it's super fucking expensive.
Yeah.
Somebody actually bought one of those.
Yeah, they broke it down here. Mm-hmm. Basically figured out that it is basically a 128 megabytes USB key.
Mm-hmm.
So basically they're using it to offload overstock, obsolete capacity thumb drives?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, something like that. But yeah, they break down their whole breakdown here, kind of going into it. It says it comes in a velvety branded purple bag, the Lion logo on it. Says an interesting looking USB key with an engraved crystal holder and a circle on the metal unit. Mm. Engraved image appears only as a banner image on their website. You can find the other in the marketing materials. But they found similar looking ones from other online retailers. So I think it might be just finding whoever made that and having them some special ones made for them. They plugged it into their test machine. They may have said they may have missed the bubble of quantum holographic catalyzer technology appearing. Stick has
Now we're playing buzzword bingo.
Yeah, the stick has a 25-page PDF version of the material from their website. Includes a Q&A of distances for the bubble and how to know if it is working. It's an always-on system, apparently. Is always working, powered or not, so no visual checks needed. Yeah, review the stick's properties, real nothing more than what you'd expect from a regular 128 megabyte USB key. We're even sure that 128s are still in production, so there's that. Yeah, with USB devices, one can look at the properties and it'll list the manufacturer and extra information about the device. And they found that all the default values remained. So the indication of cheap, unbranded devices. So, yeah.
Shocking.
AliExpress special.
They, let's see, they pulled the device off the crystal, showed nothing other than LED at the end of the stick, same as the other USB, crystal USB keys we found made in Shenzhen. They also took off the circular sticker. They say the circular area on the main casing looked like it might be where the quantum holographic catalyzer technology transmitter might be. Carefully taking that off, not to damage the key components, and with crushing disappointment, it looked exactly like a regular sticker. Now, we cannot say the sticker does not have additional functionality and used anywhere else in the world. We're confident you can make up your own mind on that. And there appear to be no electrical or other connections between the device and the sticker. Also, no additional components other than the USB stick. And yeah, they took a picture of the USB board. Yeah. The serial number enhanced for reference, but they couldn't find anything from searching for that. But yeah, they say it's a 5-pound USB key with a sticker on it that they're selling for £300. Whether or not the sticker provides £300 worth of quantum holographic catalyzer technology, we'll leave for you to decide. We do not believe this product should be promoted by publicly funded bodies until a full, independent, peer-reviewed scientific study has been undertaken on its effectiveness. I think trading standards bodies should investigate this product. Because I believe in the UK they've had people in the government actually promoting this stuff.
Yeah.
And that's sort of the big issue.
Of course they have.
Well, they have Boris, so...
Yeah.
All right. Next up, the Miami Dolphins, because, you know, there's no football, they decided to do something else with their stadium. They've turned it into a giant drive-in theater.
Yeah, that's pretty smart.
Yeah.
Good way to bring in some revenue for the time being.
Drive-ins are pretty cool. I'm kind of, that's one thing I'm kind of glad is kind of returning, because...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've seen some stories like, this is how we should do concerts for the time being.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is essentially have people in their cars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the theater will showcase classic Miami Dolphins content and classic motion picture films, which I'm assuming they're going to play Ace Ventura.
Probably.
It's one of their first movies.
Yeah.
Also allow for the hosting of commencement ceremonies and other events. They can hold about 230 cars on the field.
That's a pretty good chunk of change, even.
And I have food and beverage available through online ordering and payment system. The delivery service out to the cars and restrooms will also be available.
See, we can figure this out. We can adapt, Trump.
We can start new. We can basically bring an entire industry that was basically dead back from the brink.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's time for Sonic to reform.
Yeah.
Take their mantle as the biggest thing around. Mm-hmm. Fast food is kind of all the same thing, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Is Sonic's not a thing where you're at anymore?
It's somewhere. I don't know where it's at. It's far enough away, it basically doesn't exist for me.
Hell, I get my breakfast door dashed from him a couple times a week.
Nice.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And next up, Audi has dropped the Formula E driver, because he secretly is swapping his eSport driver mid-virtual race.
Yeah, so Formula E is the version of Formula One with electric cars.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I think, I'm not sure what they've been doing the last season, but they essentially, for the first season, basically had two cars for each driver. Because they would use the one, and since there's no fuel to fill up, they would just have a second car for them to use to finish the race, whenever strategically it made sense for them. Yeah. They also had a weird thing where you could vote online for which driver to give a boost to. It was like some Mario Kart shit.
Fuck that noise.
It was actually pretty cool. I think they had most of the races on YouTube, so you can watch it. But yeah, this involves a driver named Daniel Abt, ABT, that was driving for Audi. And so they've been doing virtual races in lieu of actual races, as they do. But he was supposed to be competing in the fifth round of Formula E's online sim racing series, which was not meant to give fans something to watch during the pandemic. It was supposed to keep the drivers and teams connected and raising funds for UNICEF. But he tapped 18-year-old Lorenz Horzing, who's been competing in the sim racer section of Formula E's events, to run in his place. Horzing has also been suspended from sim racing series as a result. And Abt had someone even appear on the driver's group Zoom call under the name Daniel Abt, dressed in Audi red but with a microphone blocking his face. A noticeable departure considering so Abt's lively presence on his personal streams or the previous races. So yeah, very much not doing all the work that you would expect to be very secretive about this. So ended up having Horzing led most of the race in Abt's virtual car, but came into contact with Mercedes-Benz driver Stoffel Van Dorn, allowing Nissan driver Oliver Rowland to take the win. This initially raised suspicions because Abt had previously struggled to compete in the earlier rounds of the virtual championship. It's like, why is he all of a sudden leading this race? And deception really started to unravel after Horzing finished third, meaning Abt was supposed to show up for the standard post-race interview with the top three drivers, but he didn't. They were instead placed next to a black box with Abt's name, and the broadcast host never even attempted to interview him. During the portion of the interview, Van Dorn said he was questioning if it was really Daniel in the car. So yeah, you know, stupid guy taking stupid risks, and now he no longer has a job.
Yeah, because apparently he wasn't that qualified for that job to begin with.
Well, he's not great at the virtual racing stuff.
Well.
Good enough for the actual racing. But yeah, he apologized after he was caught. Said, I didn't take it as seriously as I should have. I'm especially sorry about this because I know how much work has gone into the project on the part of the Formula E organization. He also put out a 14-minute video about the scandal where he announced he won't be racing with the Formula E team anymore. He said he initially viewed these races as more just entertainment for the fans, unless it's serious competition, which probably surprised everybody else. His results said he thought it would be a funny move if Sim Driver or Sim Racer drove for him, according to the English subtitles. He wanted to document it and create a funny story for the fans with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you wanted to do something like that, you should have let
it with your superiors, the powers, you know,
know about it. I mean, they might approve of it or not.
Yeah.
And
you could have just called the guy the Stig, and then that would have been fine. So
yeah, but yeah. Ew. Ew. So,
E-Stig.
Yeah, yeah.
I think in 47 it was the Stig's digital cousin.
Yes, it was.
All right. And finally, last story for the night. Yes, there is going to be a Sonic the Hedgehog movie sequel.
Which I'm okay with, because it was shockingly better than I expected.
It was better than it had any right to be, especially after the god-awful trailer that came out the first time.
Yeah, well, yeah. Like this time around, they're not going to have to redo the effects twice. So.
No.
Yeah.
Plus, I mean, let's face it. They put one hell of a stinger at the end of the movie, so
yeah, they're gonna have the same team of filmmakers, Jeff Fowler directing and Pat Casey and Josh Miller writing the script, and yeah, so it's just a matter of like when they're gonna start being able to do casting and production and all that.
That's gonna be next year.
Yep. Alright folks, I do believe we got ourselves a show.
Yeah, we managed to end on
and we managed to keep it. Yeah, so with that, I would like to remind all of our listeners: if you have a question, a content, you know, comment, or something you just want us to read on the air, you can get in touch with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We got a link for you in the show notes. Also, on top of Apple Podcasts, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, those are all the places that you can find our little bit of unscripted shenanigans, but you know, you can also, you know, find it in pretty much any kind of podcast aggregator you can think of. And if we're not there, well, just wait a few minutes. We'll be there. I mean, what else are you gonna do? Go outside?
Yeah, you melt.
Why would you go outside? There's monkeys stealing blood samples out there.
Anyway.
And with that, I would like to say I am your host with the most, Brandon Perkins, and for Felipe Danalfo, Patrick Mifflin, and Chris Logi. Good night, sleep tight, and Minneapolis is currently alight.